Welcome to the Lean Blog Podcast. Visit our website at www.leanblog.org. Now, here's your host, Mark Graben.
Hi, it's Mark Graben. Welcome to the podcast. It's episode 503 for April 24th, 2024. Today's episode is a little bit different. It was originally live streamed on LinkedIn back on April 9th. It's a conversation with Sam Morgan, who was a guest on this podcast back in episode 457 in 2022. Sam's been doing a live stream series that he calls Lean Coaching for Lean Coaches. So in today's episode, you'll hear Sam coaching me, and then we'll have a broader conversation about that work that he's doing. We can all use a coach, myself included. I hope you find this interesting. So you can learn more about Sam and his work. Look for a link in the show notes or go to leanblog.org/503. Thanks for listening. And it says we are live. Sam Morgan, how you doing?
Mark Graben. I am doing good. Or as we said yesterday in your post for your other podcast, M.Graben. I don't know if you caught that reference in that comment.
I did not.
Yeah, you had the gentleman on yesterday. He was a musical director for Hamilton. That's one of the lines, you know, when they're writing letters back and forth. Yeah. A.Burr, M.Ham, or no, A.Ham. So I said M.Graben, but you know, maybe that was just too deep. Okay.
Did not get the ham. Oh, right. I did. Okay. Now yeah. I'm following you. I did not get the Hamilton reference. I kind of had the day off yesterday because of Eclipse Day. And before we start formally, we'll welcome people who are joining in. We'll do a little just sound check and internet check and back and forth here. But welcome to our live stream. Yesterday I released an episode of My Favorite Mistake a guy who was one of the musical directors for a touring company, I believe it was, of Hamilton.
Yep.
Really interesting episode with him, Julian Reeves. So I encourage people to go check out the My Favorite Mistake podcast. And then I was in eclipse mode all day yesterday, so I was barely online.
It was a good episode. Yeah, well done. If you struggle with perfectionism, I would highly recommend giving that a listen. Having somebody that had, you know, some name or notoriety or whatnot, and having them name that and like talk about the effects and then what they're doing now for themselves and to help others who struggle with it. It was good. I definitely took away some good things from that conversation. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you. We'll do a little bit more sound check here. We'd love to have people put in the comments of where they're from. And then, you know, the question, at least it's on my mind still, were you able to see a partial or total eclipse? So I am in the Dallas-Fort Worth area this morning. Thankfully, I was in the path of totality. And thankfully, the clouds parted enough. It wasn't clear skies, but thankfully it didn't ruin the viewing experience and the experience of all of that. So we've got people here, Long Island, New York. Hi, Marjorie. Yolanda said the eclipse was awesome. Yeah, it's even hard to describe. Sam, tell us where you're from and what your experience was yesterday.
Yeah, so Vancouver, Washington. So I didn't, but as we were talking before offline, a few years back, there was one here in the Northwest, and it was the talk for probably about a year, you know, Airbnbs booked up and everything. I will be 100% honest. I knew it was yesterday. I didn't take to go out and find, I guess I couldn't have seen it, of course, but I didn't at all. Yeah. But it sounds like it was an amazing experience.
It was. Yolanda is in Frisco, Texas, was just north of Dallas, pretty near me. So yes, that was in the totality. Evan, hello. Too much cloud cover yesterday. sorry to hear. All right. We got Erica here from San Jose, Huntsville, Alabama. Yeah, not totality there, but yeah. All right, well, cool. Well, hopefully people keep putting that in the chat, and we've got 48 people on. I don't know, Sam, you want to kind of go ahead and kick off formally with what our plan had been here?
Yeah, we're just going to hop right into it, kind of share. I think this is kind of a fun experiment where we both have ways and means we share in conversation around continuous improvement and lean. Of course, Mark with My Favorite Mistake and the Lean blog where this will be placed, as well as for me every Tuesday and Thursday doing lean coaching for lean coaches. So this is just kind of collaborative experience that's been in the works for maybe a month or two now that we've had a conversation about. So I'm really excited to it, actually come into reality and just see where this experiment goes. What do you think and expect here, Mark?
Yeah. Well, first off, I'll do the formality because this, again, like Sam said, will be an episode of the podcast. So I'll say welcome to this live stream and recording of the Lean Blog Interviews podcast. I've done this a couple of times before, and Sam has done a lot of live streaming. I've done some experiments with that. So, you know, normally I would be recording an episode offline. Sam and I had talked about that possibility, but today we're going to be live streaming it, and we're going to have a couple of different parts here. Like Sam's going to kind of take the lead for a while, which he'll explain, and then I'll go into the more traditional Lean Blog Interviews podcast mode. So again, joined here by Sam Morgan. I'll introduce myself briefly, and Sam, I'll invite you to do the same. My name is Mark Graben. If you have not listened to or watched to my podcast, I've been doing this podcast since 2006. Recently surpassed 500 episodes of the podcast. I would describe myself as a author and speaker and consultant and podcaster and entrepreneur. I have a role with the company Kinexus, software company. I'm happy to wear their shirt, and I have my own business where I do the other things that I mentioned. So that's me. Sam, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm just excited to share this space with you, Mark. This is just like, it's always fun to be here. So again, thanks for this space to have this conversation and to open yourself up to this kind of format that's different than what you normally do. I think that's in the spirit of what we all talk about is, you know, lean continuous improvement practitioners is experimenting. And I'm looking forward to diving in more into that conversation around that. For me, I'm a lean coach first and foremost for lean coaches and consultants, those who are especially feeling stuck where they're at right now, especially those who are looking to launch their business, just don't know where to start, or they're feeling some kind of way about where they're at right now and they just don't know how to move forward. That's what I hear all the time is people have that desire, but they just feel stuck and all alone. And so I'm here to help you be by your side and help you move forward, get some clarity. And especially too, for those other leaders, I have folks that I help and support who are COOs, founders, as well as they're wanting to grow in their skills and mindset to move forward and practice this idea of experimentation, scientific thinking. So, but hey, let's go at it. Are you ready, Mark? Should we dive in? What else do we need to?
Yeah, well, it's just maybe one other piece of context here. Sam, every Tuesday, is that right? Does a live stream lean coaching for lean coaches session. And that's basically what we're going to be doing here, right?
That's the idea. We thought, wouldn't it be fun if we took this idea instead of just talking about, hey, Sam, tell us about this. To me, that's kind of like, oh, okay, all right, yeah, that's a little boring. Why don't we just do it? Mm-hmm. And then people get that feeling for that experience of what it's actually like and practice that. So that was the whole idea. And so I'm excited because I don't know where it's going to go. Mark doesn't know where it's going to go. This isn't like the WWE. We haven't pre-planned who the winner is or the outcome. We're just going to see where this goes. And then we'll move in transition to those questions. But
So we're gonna do it and demonstrate it and then talk about it and what Sam is doing. And yeah, so that's gonna be kind of the two parts here. So Sam, I'm gonna hand the reins formally over to you, your show.
I love the reins. Yes, that's right. Unlike in my house where we know where those reins are. But nevertheless, Mark, what's on your mind today? What's been in your head lately around your journey?
Well, the journey has been going on. It'll be almost 14 years ago when I launched my company, and I was doing that at first half time. So I've been working, my last full-time job anywhere was with the Lean Enterprise Institute. I was with them full-time for a year. And then after moving back away from Cambridge and Boston, I was still working with them half-time, and I was working remotely on different projects. And, you know, it was a chance to test the idea that I could have a sustainable business. And after that first year, kind of evaluating the experiment and all things considered, I went then 100% on my own, taking on also then at the time, middle of 2011, a part-time role with Kynexus. So, you know, I started there in 2011 and doing a lot of work primarily in healthcare, I think is what, you know, I was known for, especially after Lean Hospitals. The book was published in 2008. You know, the book did, I think, pretty well in the market. It was, more importantly, I think the book was helping people. People were reading it. It won a Shingo Prize. That led to a lot of people reaching out to me. And so my marketing strategy was really, I think, what a lot of people would call inbound marketing or content marketing.
Yep.
I'm blogging. I'm writing articles. There was the book. There was the podcasts. It's easy for people to find me, and enough people would reach out and start that conversation then about what their needs were. Am I a good fit for them? Not doing a lot of advertising, really, per se, or certainly not cold calling or reaching out to people. And then, you know, sometimes I would partner with other consulting firms, and then COVID. March 2020, I was out with a healthcare client as part of a team. We figured that was going to be the last week, the last week on site for a little while. And then I remember that Wednesday, NBA canceled, this postponed the season. NCAA tournament was canceled, and ended up flying home that day instead of the end of the week, as I tended to do as a consultant. So that was disruptive.
Yeah.
I mean, it was 23 months before I was back on site with a healthcare client. You know, so I was trying to do what I could virtually and remotely. A lot of other consultants were in that same situation, of course, whether they were in healthcare or otherwise. But then even, you know, as we got out of pandemic mode and there was the opportunity to go and travel, I think a couple of things I've faced as a business, you know, me, myself, and I, Inc., is I think there's a number of ongoing trends and situations in healthcare. Mm-hmm. There's fewer people reaching out about opportunities in healthcare. It still happens. You know, I still love being able to work with an organization in healthcare. But I, even going back a little bit pre-COVID, I've been trying to re-diversify the work that I do. I love healthcare. I've lost no passion for that. But I think one thing I've learned in almost 20 years of healthcare, there's almost always some financial crisis in American healthcare that creates challenges about bringing people in.
Yeah.
And, you know, I started my career in manufacturing, and there's almost this catch 22, as much as you might want to explore. You fight like mad to be accepted by the healthcare people as a healthcare person.
Yeah.
And there was a time, I think it was 2019, I had somebody reach out from a manufacturing company who wanted me to be a coach, and he knew, and I knew that could be a good coaching relationship.
Yep.
I got to go walk the Gemba in their factory that made helicopter parts.
Whoa.
And I felt like I was asking good questions. Like, I mean, I think I hadn't been in too many factories, but I think, look, I mean, it kind of comes back to you, or lean questions and lean thought process is what it is. But then I think some other people at the company, they started interviewing other consultants, and there was a little bit of gentle feedback of like, well, some of them are concerned that you're not a manufacturing person. Which is ironic after, you know, healthcare people would say, you're a manufacturing person.
Oh, yeah, right. Of course. Yeah.
So anyway, I'm not turning this into a long soliloquy. I'll leave it at that. I know as a coach, you'll want to ask questions. But those are some of the things that I've been thinking about over the last couple of years anyway.
Yeah. What do you feel like is, like, what do you want to do when you grow up? Like, what do you want this to be? What would be like success be for you?
I'm going to give a shout out to my friend and book editor, Tom Ehrenfeld. I'm tempted to want to make a reference to the movie This is Spinal Tap, which is my favorite film and I think his favorite film. I'll try to leave that out of the conversation. What do I want to do? It's not starting a rock band. I'm probably a little too old for that. I mean, look, it's not even a what do I want to be when I grow up? I turned 50 last year. So I would propose the question is, what do I want to do here in this last?
Yeah.
I have more phase of my career. I have more career behind me at this point than I probably will have ahead of me. So, I mean, your question comes back to purpose. Like, I want to be helpful. Like, I have, a lot of drive to try to help leaders, people in different industries around creating better workplaces that are better for everybody involved. So in healthcare, that involves helping make things better for the patients and the nurses and doctors and surgeons and pharmacists and housekeeping staff and everybody in that hospital. But I think whether, it's a software company, I partner up with the leaders, the co-founders of Kinexus. We want that to be a great culture and a great environment. And so, what do I want to help people with? I think there's this intersection of the quote unquote lean work that I've done. But then I think there's an evolution in some of the things I've been educated about and certified in. And I think fit really closely, tightly together here around helping people understand and improve the level of psychological safety. Lean and continuous improvement doesn't work if people don't feel safe to speak up.
That's right.
You can go through all the problems. You could bring me in and we'd do problem solving training with people all day long for whoever knows how many a days, but that would all go to waste if people don't feel safe to point out problems. So I think a lot of that is the driving passion for whatever this next or last stage of my career is. I'm not trying to retire, but it'll happen. It'll probably happen.
Breaking news. Mark is not retiring.
Yeah. Some people might say, oh, okay, who cares?
So I guess how would you what does that look like? What does success look like for you with this? So you used a lot of terms that I might refer to as, that have meaning and heart, like passion and purpose. I'm wondering, okay, so how can you know that that's actually happening? What are you going to be seeing going on in your world that's going to tell you, oh yeah, I am doing X?
I mean, I think it would be a longer list of organizations that would reflect and say, we're unstuck now when it comes to employee engagement, continuous improvement, kind of like you're trying to help people like me or others get unstuck professionally. I would love for there to be more of a movement. I guess I'll say the word movement. Like, there's always risk, if these concepts around psychological safety get trendy, sort of like at different points in time, lean healthcare or lean manufacturing is trendy. I think doing something because it's trendy is the worst reason to do something. But, I think when leaders are trying to figure out how do we get unstuck, we can't just tell people to speak up. We can't just tell them, hey, it's safe now. There are things leaders can do to help people, employees, frontline staff, make their own decision that it's safe enough.
Yeah.
Safe enough to speak up and effective, right? So that's the other thing. If it's just safe, but we don't know how to solve problems, people will stop speaking up about problems for reasons other than fear.
Yeah. So you talked about you would get feedback from your, just use the word like, ideal customers or people that you're working with and supporting that are telling you it's had an impact on you. Can you say more about that? I just want to create a picture in your mind because I think we all do this, even as lean practitioners. We kind of make it squishy, and then it's easier easier to not move forward or easier to try something or not try something. So I'm just wanting to get as much concrete as we can right now for you on what this looks like. What kinds of things specifically would you be seeing that's going to tell you, oh, okay, this is actually having impact or doing what I want it to do?
Yeah. I mean, I think the ROI, return on investment of an engagement, would be a little squishy. Now I'm going to get away from squishiness here. I think a simple ROI calculation would be difficult or problematic or hard to prove.
Sure.
But in terms of measurable impact, things that I would want to see, and I have seen with past clients going back, you know, more than a decade, is countable, you know, the number of employee ideas implemented. Okay. And I'm not counting the number submitted.
Right.
At some
right.
point, the number implemented, tested, evaluated in a plan, do, study, adjust cycle. The number implemented should be very close to the number suggested.
Okay. Yeah.
But we can see increases in that. We could see relatively hard measures around the impact of ideas without demanding every idea have a particular ROI. Part of the employee engagement, you know, process and cycle is letting people work on things that matter to them and not have this unreasonably high ROI threshold.
Yeah, right.
And look, if you get more and more people participating, they will stumble across with surprisingly big impact.
That's right.
Which is a different vein than looking for big impact. Unintuitive, maybe catch 22 there. So those would be a couple of measures. I think in healthcare, we would see other measures, an increase in what an organization might call incident reports.
Okay. Yep.
That's not an increase in incidents, but now we're closing that gap. And a lot of organizations, let's say traditional suggestion box, there might be a huge gap between suggestions collected and suggestions approved and implemented.
Right.
That's usually like a 50-to-1 gap. Oof. Now, sadly, let's say in a healthcare organization, if people are either fearful of speaking up or they think it's futile, the number of reported incidents might be here. The number of actual incidents and near misses and things that could harm patients might be up here.
Yeah.
So this is the psychological safety piece. You can't solve a problem that you're not aware of.
Right.
And I've seen organizations where as you cultivate psychological safety, the number of reported incidents is increasing and the number of actual incidents is probably coming down. Right. And then it's kind of a meeting because now if you're taking those reported incidents or near misses enabled by a better sense of psychological safety, now combining it with problem solving, the number of incidents should then start going down and the rate of harm to patients will start going down. And I've seen organizations where those charts line up beautifully. That's increase cool. in reported incidents, decrease in measurable harm to patients. And so that's the type of thing I'm passionate about in terms of seeing that measurable impact, not measuring. I mean, it's not a primary measure of how many people did you train? And I'm not big on certifying people, but how many people did you certify?
Yeah.
We need impact beyond that.
Well, it seems that you've got pretty, a clear picture of that. So, you shared at the beginning where you're at on your journey right now. Yeah. Maybe just real quickly, this is the worst. Don't do this if you're a coach. I'm going to put two questions in one just for the sake of time. So
also don't do that as a podcast interviewer. And I've been guilty.
This is I not may do it when, by any I means.
I may do that when we shift mode, Sam.
So just maybe in like 90 seconds, where are you at right now in relation to where you want to get to?
Mm-hmm.
And then let's talk about what's getting in your way.
Hmm. That's a good question. I mean, I think if I know for sure, I would start trying to get those things in the way out of the way. But, I've struggled to really get my business back to where it had been pre-pandemic. I mean, I think I've done some productive things. My most recent book, I mentioned the first book. Here's the most recent book.
Yep.
The Mistakes That Make Us, Cultivating a Culture of Learning and Innovation, that kind of touches on some of these things I've already been talking about. This is a book similar, same idea as my last book, Measures of Success. I didn't write it as a healthcare book.
Yeah.
There's applicability to healthcare, but I would describe it as a management book. So that's one, I think, concrete thing I've tried to do to try to broaden out. I'm not writing healthcare management books anymore. You know, I mean, I'm not saying never, but I've sort of broadened the focus of what I'm writing, which my hypothesis would be, well, that broadens the reach of people from potential industries who could reach out. Now, you know, and this is starting to happen where, you know, a leader reads the book and they have others read the book and now they want to have a deeper conversation, you know, about that. Some of that is happening, but you know, the book's been out for 9 months now. And so I'm still trying to build a bigger audience for the book and hoping some of that flows through into opportunities for me to serve as a coach, trainer, consultant, speaker, you know, whatever label and bit of work or stretch of work meets the customer's need and challenge. So that's one thing that I've been trying to do. And then, you know, I think, you know, just look, you know, I'm going to do a little bit more to be a little more intentional about outreach and not just waiting for people to email me or send a LinkedIn message or fill out a form on my website. Like, I mean, yeah. I do have a big network.
Yep.
And so I've been running some experiments of reaching out to people in my network, sharing some of the things I've been doing recently that went really well at an organization and saying, well, hey, would you like to, you know, connect and just catch up? Or is there a similar opportunity? Let's say, you know, a lot of healthcare organizations do a quarterly leadership event.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
I'm sharing, well, I got to do this with a health system in Northern Kentucky. Are these topics, you know, potentially not just of interest, but beneficial to your team? Is there a similar opportunity for me to come in and do a similar type of program, hopefully with a similar type of impact? So I'm doing more reach out. I'm like, I can't just sit back and wait for referrals or contacts coming in based on people finding me. Sometimes I need to go re-engage with people who are in my LinkedIn network. And then another phase might try to figure out some sort of ad campaign to reach people who I don't know or I'm not connected with. And even asking and reaching out to people, even if they don't have a particular need, do they know somebody in their network who might have that need? And I really try to frame it around the needs in the situation. Right. It's not, here's what I do. Do you want that?
Right.
Trying to frame some of the things I can do as a countermeasure to help them with situations or problems they have.
So what do you feel is, so you want to make this impact, right? You named what success looks like in these tangible ways of getting feedback from organizations that said you help get them unstuck and you're seeing, you know, the suggestions being accepted and implemented and then the incident reported cases, you know, getting reported and coming down. So we've got these clear pictures. Right. You're doing some of these things now. So what's in your way? What's keeping you like from getting to this place that you want to be that you're not?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's a couple of things. One, and I've talked to a lot of other healthcare consultants, either kind of, you know, solo practitioners like me or people in other firms. I think any of the situation or these industry challenges are nothing for me to take personally.
Right.
You know, I remind myself that, or try to say, hey, don't take it personally.
Yeah.
You know, there's, you know, financial challenges, margins are tight.
Yep.
Financial or uncertainty is there, I think, especially in American healthcare. And if times are tight, there's still a challenge of a cost cutting habit in healthcare.
For sure.
And some organizations, like even during the pandemic or after, have leaned in, if you will, or doubled down on lean and process improvement, their lean management system. This is how they're going to help get out of that situation. And then other organizations, I think, fall back into the cost-cutting habit, and they lay off their internal team of lean or process excellence or whatever label they give to it. And then they'll say, well, if we've laid people off, we're not going to bring in some outsider. I think a catch 22 of, I think, organizations that have the biggest financial pressures.
Yeah.
Is the best opportunity for them to do this internally or get some outside help. But then, there's that question of like, well, maybe that lines up in the long term, but we got these short-term pressures. We got to hit our budget. We got to hit our margin goal for the year. I would love to help people with that challenge. What are the causes of the margin pressure? What are the causes that are in your scope of in control, if not, scope of influence? You can't go and address broad economic factors or political risk, but there are things we could do to reduce waste and become an employer of choice, or if we're a health system, become a health system of choice by providing a great experience, not just a waste-free experience. But those are some of the things. And use a maybe slightly different language if it was people outside of healthcare. See, I keep gravitating back to healthcare scenarios, healthcare language, and see, maybe that's where people say, hey, you're a healthcare guy. How are you going to help our startup software company or our mid-size manufacturer? So I don't know if I think back again to what do I have control over?
That's right.
Am I still painting a picture of being or wanting to be quote unquote a healthcare person?
Well, I think you've named that the people you want to help have this challenge with maybe reflecting on what's in the scope of my control and taking action to do it. And I'm wondering for you, what's in your scope of control, right? Because we can talk about the financial state with healthcare and just the economy in general. But for you, what's in your scope of control that's getting in your way that you can try some small experiment with to see how that affects things?
I think there's a number of things. Kind of take a fresh look at my website, markgraven.com, and, kind of take a fresh look. And I'm trying to work on some of this a little bit around the first impression, the messaging, the deeper messaging. There's an opportunity. I have control. I have 100% control over what is on that website.
Yep.
I have 100% control over the themes and topics that I choose to write about and to some extent podcast about. And I could go back and look at the data. I don't think a lot of what I'm writing about on my blog or in healthcare is vast majority healthcare focused. I've been writing a lot about, culture issues, process issues, leadership issues in different settings, different industries. So I'm trying to take control about that. And then I think, the other thing I do have control over is being more intentional about getting better at the outreach.
Yep.
Again, to people who are already in my network, people I worked with a while ago, where there might be an opportunity to reconnect and work again, or, ask them for an introduction or a referral. Or again, as I mentioned, like maybe to do more of an experiment with a LinkedIn ad campaign that's getting outside of my network.
So you mentioned your website, your blog, reaching out, and LinkedIn. So there's four things. I'm wondering, can you isolate one of those areas and one specific action that you're going to take, or an experiment that you're going to take that's going to help you? Like, you're going to try. You don't know the answer to, right? That's what an experiment is.
Sure. Right.
What's the experiment you're going to take to help you move just a little bit forward towards where you want to get to?
I think there's one is a continuation of the experiment around outreach. And thinking of I've planned and I've done and I'm doing, and now there'd be an opportunity to study potentially adjust. You know, there's a couple different variables around who I'm choosing to reach out to.
Yep.
We're connected on LinkedIn. Do I reach out via a LinkedIn message? Or some people are never on LinkedIn. A second sub-experiment is to use email contact info that I have and send an email instead of a LinkedIn message. And as I think this through, my hypothesis would be emails are probably more likely to be read than a LinkedIn message.
Okay.
So that's another thing to consider. There's the messaging of the outreach, and then there's the follow-up of the outreach. So from a fairly limited experiment of reaching out, you know, I've had four kind of reconnects that are going to lead to a meeting with that person and or some other people at their organization. I think for a couple of those people, it might end up being, well, it's a catch up. We used to work together.
Sure.
That's great in and of itself. And then for some people, it's a little bit more of, okay, well, let's explore. Let's talk about the situation they're in. Let's talk about what countermeasures or services I could provide. And then see, you know, I mean, there's, I think this kind of natural, you think of a marketing funnel.
Yeah.
Some percentage of outreach will lead to a reply and a connection. And then some percentage of those might lead to a meeting, and some percentage then leads to speaking engagement, coaching relationship, what have you. So I think I kind of can start working backward to how many leads do I need to turn into the number of engagements that I would like to be doing, and then, you know, hopefully be more highly selective in terms of finding that fit.
So
between their need and what I would like to do, right? It's got to be mutually beneficial. It's not exactly all about me, but the situation and what have you, the different things that would lead to this saying, yeah, this is a home run fit. I can't wait to do this work versus,
exactly,
well, this might be a fit. So let's try and see. And I have some concerns about the weather,
So you propose some different things. I want to make sure we hone in on one specific thing you'll do in the next, let's just say 24 hours, one experiment that you'll do, and everybody can spam Mark with hashtag Mark's experiment or something like that.
I thought you were going to say people can think about their own experiments.
Well, I mean, of course they can do that, but this is, we're trying to get you into this because I think we can all learn from this. My experience with Lean folks is we can talk about a lot of these proposed things and then we don't do anything. So I'm wondering, what is it specifically that you're going to, what's the specific experiment you're going to try?
I think beyond continuing, I think that first experiment is still in place. I think the next experiment is to take a fresh look at web page. Again, like that first introduction, if what people see when the page first loads sort of is compelling, do they ever scroll down? Do they ever click on something? There's probably an opportunity to take a fresh look at that. Look and consider some changes. Then I have to think through, well, how would I evaluate the impact of those changes? Is it more people connecting to do an initial discovery call conversation?
Right.
I'm happy to do and schedule, for free and explore that situation. You know, I'm thinking about, as I'm writing down here, it's not just the website language, but, you know, is there a clear, if you will, call to action that makes it easy, both compelling and easy to say, yeah, I do want to talk.
And so what does that mean? I think Kristen offered an interesting suggestion here, but I want to hop into, the whatever portion you want to have with our conversation around this, but what specifically would it look like to, and I'm just saying this because you could say, I'm going to take a look. Okay. Well, what is take a look at my website? I could stare at the screen and read it. But how is that helping you, right? What is specifically are you going to do to be able to do what you just said?
Well, I mean, I can do my best, but I am not my own customer.
Right.
But you know, Kristen's comment, I'm going to put it up on screen here. Yep, she shared it in the chat. Could you ask this group to take a look at your website, et cetera, and give you feedback about how you're doing around positioning and messaging? And yeah, I mean, absolutely. Yeah, it would be good to hear, you know, whether that's in the chat or afterwards, or, you know, if they're watching live or eventually listening to the recording, go to markgraven.com and I'll use that line. Feedback is a gift. There are things that I'm probably not noticing that could be improved. So I guess I would reach out to people. If you're in the universe of potential clients, I would love to hear your feedback. I'm not going to try to turn that around on you as a sales pitch unless you're interested in having a conversation about, yeah, like, you know, sales pitch sounds so negative, right? I mean, I try to think of sales as a collaborative problem solving process, right, together. That's more palatable, I think, to engineers like me who don't want to be quote unquote salesy. There's nothing wrong with helping people and learning and collaborating. No. And yeah. But yeah, thank you for that suggestion, Kristen.
That's really good. And I think that helps frame. So what do you expect from this experiment, Mark?
I would expect to make some changes, or, you know, in the spirit of continuous improvement. I think the other thing to look at is, you know, within the WordPress platform, what opportunity is there to try to do some A/B testing?
Okay.
That's not something I've ever directly tried. So that might be a sub experiment within the experiment of trying to improve some of the messaging and being more compelling to a call to action about, hey, how can we work together on something?
How do you think this will feel for you as you're doing it?
I mean, it feels good to be in an active experimentation or problem solving mode, mm-hmm, instead of, that'll feel better than, you know, any moments where you feel stuck or stagnant or not able to reach those goals of doing things that are meaningful and helping others. And yeah, that'll feel good. And then hopefully feeling good about taking action will turn into, you know, back to that question of measurable progress for me as a business. Mm.
Well, I'm excited to see how that goes. Let's all give Mark feedback. Go to markgraben.com here in the next day, once you either watch it or you're doing it live now. And let's give him that feedback so that he can move forward and continue on. Not that it's based on, you know, all the feedback, but to help him continue moving forward towards where he wants to get to. Because I think, you know, we're a community. We all care about each other. We want each other to get better and improve. And I think this would be a really cool way to kind of connect this idea of like scientific thinking, experimentation, and community, right? To help each other move forward. And let's give Mark that genuine, honest feedback so that he can help move forward. If you're seeing something like, hey, I wonder about this or that, let's send that to Mark.
Why are you saying that? Why aren't you saying this? Or, you know, and look, the website's going to be static over the next 24 hours. I had some friends, old friends of mine, who came down from Michigan to Texas for the total eclipse yesterday. I'm going to be showing them around, and we're going to be in tourist mode the rest of the day. So nice. I know your intent, Sam, of asking, and it's a great question and the right way to frame it with the urgency of what's your next experiment in the next 24 hours. Honestly, it'll be what's your next experiment by the end of the week.
Fair enough. Well, we're all looking forward to hearing, hearing that, how it goes, and most importantly, what you learn from it. Would you be up for sharing, you know, how that goes and what you learn with the community?
Yeah,
that would be for sure. That'd be great. Thanks, Mark, for putting yourself out there and sharing. And of course, folks, you know, please drop in on the comments. You know, what did you learn? What did you see? What did you think was like, oh, I wonder about this or that? And, you know, of course, we can hop in and Mark, I'm happy to answer. And yeah, would love to hear too how you experience that as well, now that we're kind of outside that formal setting, so to speak.
All right. Well, good. Well, thank you, Sam, for your questions and for your caring. And you know, talking through this, and is that our transition into, okay, we're going to go into podcast mode, and we have maybe, you know, 15 minutes here or so for me to ask you some questions about what you're doing, lean coaching for lean coaches.
Yeah. I'm all for it. This is, we're experimenting here, and this is just a fun conversation. Mm-hmm. So I'm all up for, I'm game for whatever comes up here. Yeah.
Yeah. So I like to ask about origin stories, and you've been on my podcast before, so I'm not going to ask your lean origin story, but I'll ask you about the origin story of the series and your focus on providing lean coaching to lean coaches. Why start it? Tell us a little bit of the history of how that came to be.
Yeah, I think like you, Mark, I have been on a journey to figure out who the people I like to support and best support are, and the framework in which I do that. And last year, I was in a real experimenting mode. I launched a community for lean practitioners, these people that I've been talking about that are stuck and need support. So created a community where people can come in, get support and accountability to move forward. I did a 4-day challenge where I invited those kind of people in for an hour a day to move forward and use this pattern of the improvement kata a little bit each day to help them move forward. Mm-hmm. And then I started a newsletter to be able to, you know, continue to grow and communicate with those people that I seek to support. And then as I was doing that mindset, I started thinking about back a few years ago when I was first starting on this journey, learning about the kata, and I was like, man, it would be really cool to do live coaching with people mm-hmm. that I want to support. I just like that format. I have a background in radio, broadcasting. And so I've always loved telling stories and engaging with people. So at that point I was like, man, daily coaching doesn't seem like something that would be online would be a little bit challenging, but if I did something a couple times a week and just see where it goes, instead of hypothesizing about it, it was like, let's just do it. And so that's what I did.
Or let's just experiment.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Just experiment. Yeah. And so I remember the first experiment was I didn't have anybody lined up. My friend, it was somewhere around 6:30 a.m. Pacific. 7 o'clock was when I had said I was going live. And I created the event and I was sitting there, oh, I don't have somebody. I was just kind of planning on I'll send the streaming link to whoever. And I reached out to my friend Andres. I was like, hey, would you be up for joining? He's like, yes. So we hopped on to do a quick check. And of course, 5 minutes before, his audio is not working. So, you know, that's like a little terrifying. And then I'm like, all right. So he's like, I'm going to hop off. So I get on, I launch the stream and he pops on and I'm like, hey, Andres. And he said, hey, Sam. So we were off to the races. And so there it was born, and just doing this whole of what we just did in a 30 minute chunk, just helping people get clear on where they want to get to and get like an actual step they can take to move forward. And it's been really fun to see people lean into that, and it actually helps them, you know, it actually does help them get clarity, and actually does, they do take a step and it makes a difference. And it's really, really fun to see that impact. That all came from an experiment.
Yeah. How are you evaluating that experiment? Mm. What's success look like to you in that experiment to decide? I'm not trying to be cute and throw it back.
No, I love it.
I'm curious about how do you evaluate this experiment, and what does success look like to decide, do I keep going or do I evolve and study and adjust or tweak it or pivot?
That's great. I'd like to say I've got it like 100% intentional and I've got like a run chart over here that I could show you. I don't. The question that I love to ask, and I think this is helping me bring clarity to it, is, and I think if I go back and I look, I think I've done something like close to 15 to 20 of the live sessions now. Mm-hmm. And almost without fail, I'll ask what was the most valuable part of this conversation with you? Mm-hmm. And so if they can clearly articulate some way of like, okay, it helped me get clarity, or it helped me do this, or it helped me do that, I think then that is like a measure of success for me, that mm-hmm. helped them. Ideally, in the end, it's helping people to continue to see me as a meaningful resource to help them get unstuck. And so, mm-hmm. you know, the outcome measure, this is more of, I would say, like a lag measure would be people reaching out, or people, and it'd be hard to measure this, but seeing me as somebody that could actually help them. And then you can see that in a message that comes in, or if I reach out to them and like, you know, they've come to one of my, you know, like those of you who are here, like, hey, saw that you came. Thanks so much. What did you find most interesting? And then there's an opportunity for a conversation. And then if that leads to a future, you know, support of them or their business and coaching, well, then that's the outcome measure, as you kind of were sharing in your scenario as well.
So welcome to, it was called Lean Coaches for Lean Coaches.
Lean Coaching for Lean Coaches. Yeah, I think that's the
third. No. Well, in the Kata methodology, which I'm not expert in, they talk about the second coach.
Yeah.
Who's coaching the coach? And it does beg the question, who's coaching the coach? Who's coaching the coach?
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone ever has a third coach. I'm not trying to.
I know. It could go on ad infinitum.
But. You know, more serious question. I mean, as you've talked to different people, are there trends or patterns that you're seeing out there, Sam, that might be helpful for others to hear about? The most common challenges, the most common barriers that you're hearing about?
Yeah, I'd say one of the things that I hear from the folks that I support as clients and then people that come in, a couple different things I would say is that they're struggling to practice, right? As lean coaches, we're providing frameworks and tools and thoughts to help them move forward. But folks are struggling to practice it for themselves. Mm-hmm. And this was in one of my experiments last year in the 4-day challenge. It surfaced as a pretty consistent pattern. And I continued to hear it is that I'm struggling and I think I'm the only one. And so then there becomes this idea of like hiding. We don't share a full kind of self with the world. That's one thing I would say. And then folks who either they don't have the clarity on where they're going, but they're afraid because they don't know where to start, or they don't feel like they have enough experience to start. So they're like, oh, I can't start my own business, or how could I say I can move into this position? I only have 6 years of this experience. I hear people put those obstacles in their own way, those stories that they tell themselves. And I've done it myself, even coming here, and I've got meetings coming up where I have to work to change my story. Who am I? I was just the other night and I have a coach right here within the four walls of my home. I'm very blessed. My wife is a master facilitator and conflict transformation consultant. And it was the other night we were laying in bed as we often do and having just like a recap on the day. And I was downloading some challenges and I was just saying, you know, I'm so blessed to have you in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, you're this black belt, you're this consultant and entrepreneur. I'm just this short, goofy white guy. And she said, you're not just to me. And I was like, wow, as a coach.
She's like, well, for one, you are a goofy white guy, but
no, right.
Sorry to interrupt. But.
No. And so that's the power. Like as a coach, I hope to do that to other people and help them be able to see that they aren't just, they have something meaningful and valuable to offer. And how can we change the story that's going on in your head so that you can move out and actually be able to impact the world in the way you were intended? There's 7 billion people in the world, 1 billion people on LinkedIn, and there's so much suffering going on in the world. And if we don't get out of our own way, move out of our own stories, those people are going to continue to suffer. So we have to be the one to go first, be vulnerable and put ourselves out there. And that's what I've done over the past like 18 months. You know, I just have 7 or 8 years of lean experience, you know, like, and also I'm getting the opportunity to coach CEOs and founders and entrepreneurs. And, you know, here I am in front with you, Mark. And, you know, so we can continue to carry those stories. In fact, the other day I had one from a couple years ago and I was in a group and I tore it up, burned it and flushed it down the toilet. Like literally, it was a story I'd held on to and I had written it down and I actually did that. And then later that night, my therapist helped me get a new story in my head. that will help me continue to move forward and do more, reach more, impact more people. And that's what I hope for folks that are out there.
Yeah.
And experimenting is a way to do that. It's a way to like, I'm just going to try this little thing. Uh-huh. And as I do that, it will help change things up here. I love the quote from the Toyota Kata Practice Guide.
Yeah.
And I don't know who it is, but Mike Rother quotes, "We don't think our way to a new way of thinking. We act our way to a new way of thinking." And so you may have this story in your head that you're just this, or I don't have enough of that. What you can do to change that is to run a small experiment right now, today, to move you forward. And you do that, you know, every day for the next month, for the next year. I promise you, this up here will change, and so will this right here.
Wow. I like the way you say that. And you're making me think of opportunities for lean coaches, myself included, to practice what we preach, you know, to think about, in no particular order, customer focus, make sure, are we providing a solution or look, you know, in a, are we in a collaborative problem solving process, looking for countermeasures and experiments? Now, I think there is a challenge. I've tried to pitch a couple of times, not to turn back to lean coaching, but real quickly, you know I've been in a competitive situation where I was intentionally pitching. I do not come in with off the shelf solutions.
Yep.
That the process is a collaborative discovery and problem solving process. And I will help teach you problem solving as we practice problem solving together.
That's right.
For the business, for the enterprise. Now there's an opportunity to test for fit in a proposal like that, where I've had some of those proposals rejected and they probably chose somebody who felt like the more traditional consultant approach of like, I'm going to tell you what to do and I'm going to guarantee that it works. And I'm like, oh, if life were only that easy.
That's right.
But those are the opportunities to try to practice what we preach, but to try to do it in a way where the language, I don't know if the language of hypotheses and experiments and problem solving is off-putting to some. You know, I don't need to be a fit with everybody. I heard a country music song. It was serendipity on the radio. Kacey Musgraves, it's not a new song, but I'd never heard it. And she sings of, you know, you can't be everybody's cup of tea.
That's true.
Like, you can't be everything to everyone. So why not just do it your way? Or like, I mean, like, it was a sweet song. And it was, I think, a good reminder. I'm not going to be everybody's cup of tea. Neither are you. Neither is, you know, anybody watching. But you know, I think practicing what we preach, trying to put these things to use, as we start to wrap up here, you know, and I think what you bring up is, you know, the difference between coaching and therapy. I have seen a therapist, and sometimes you talk about business challenges, and there's a role and a time and a place for that. I know by, you know, you calling yourself a coach, you're not pretending to be a therapist, and that's different. But when it comes to internal obstacles that we create, sometimes a coach can be helpful. Sometimes that might require somebody who's more of like that kind of trained counselor, therapist type role, right?
Yeah, and I think there's a time and a place for that. I think more when you're dealing with maybe deep trauma and some of those things, I think. For me, I've had a therapist. I have one. I've had a coach, and they've both been helpful for me in many different ways. I think as a coach, my goal is to help you move forward, get clarity. And through that process, it's changing your heart and your mind. Mm-hmm. And that's what I hope for, right? I want you to move forward towards your goal, make progress. But the reason why you haven't been there is because of your mindset and your beliefs and the stories you're telling yourself. And this is the process we take in order to change that. And that's what I think that we're missing the boat with Lean. We do all of these processes and this frameworks, and it doesn't affect the mindset. It's not a consistent practice over time of running experiments and then reflection. So we miss that. And I just, what I want to offer to folks is if you're thinking about moving forward, doing your own thing or in your space, to your point, Mark, and even to this whole conversation, you know, I'm a huge fan of Seth Godin, and I just finished the book, The Purple Cow. And one of the things he talks about is be remarkable. you know, be interesting, don't be popular. And I think that that's too often what we fall into, is we're like trying to get all the views and likes and impressions, and but that doesn't translate, number one, into business, and number two, into impact. It really doesn't. The camera, we need to move from facing inward towards us, outward towards other people, and bringing people together around an idea. And that's what I hope, you know, we can do, we're doing here. Hopefully we can bring people around this idea of, let's experiment, let's reflect, and let's change the stories we all have that aren't adding value to our life. They're not serving us. Let's change those stories through this practice, and let's do it together. And I'm thankful for this opportunity to have this conversation, Mark, and encourage people to do that.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Sam. This has been a fun experiment. We are out of time, because there's more we could talk about. Maybe we can explore some other time some of your reflections and continued experiments with the lean coaching for lean coaches. I'll encourage people, as we wrap up here, check out my podcast, Lean Blog Interviews. You can find it at leancast.org. This episode, the recording of it, will be released, I think, April 24th. You can find that anywhere you listen to podcasts. Most episodes recently, the last couple of years, are on YouTube. You can also check it out and subscribe there. Sam, how can people find you online? What's the best way to connect other than here on LinkedIn?
LinkedIn is great. IlluminateCoachSam@gmail.com, or you can check out my website, but really the best way, just shoot me a DM on LinkedIn. I'm there basically 6 days a week, most of the day. So you can always find me there, and I'd love to have a conversation. If you're in this spot where you're feeling stuck, shoot me a DM and let's just have a conversation and explore this like we did here. This is the way I show up in all my conversations. And if you feel like that could be valuable, let's do that. I'm wondering, Mark, as we wrap up, what was the most valuable part of this conversation for you today?
I think your nudge toward what's the next experiment, and to continue going down the path of, okay, well, what are things I have control over? That was a good reminder, I think, and I did write some things down here on a couple of note cards for that follow-up. So I think this was a good experiment. I appreciate doing it.
This is awesome. Well, maybe it wasn't a nudge. Maybe it was more like a push over the edge, but well, either way, it was fun. So thank you, Mark. This is
awesome. I invited the nudging.
That's
the other thing I think about, you know, a coaching relationship there. Someone's got to be open to it. And you know, I find it fascinating that people are willing to come on with you and do that in a public forum. So thanks to them for their vulnerability and willingness to share. I'm not trying to pat my, it sounds like I'm patting myself on the back now. I didn't mean that. But to anybody willing to share and talk about things like this, hopefully that helps others.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks everyone for attending. Thanks for the comments. And Sam, thanks again.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Lean Blog Podcast. For lean news and commentary updated daily, visit www.leanblog.org. If you have any questions or comments about this podcast, email Mark at leanpodcast@gmail.com.